be saved?
Yes.
Good be in church.
Amen.
I was going to say something else. Hang on a second. I'm the scourge of sound men. I really am. It's awful. I'm always doing things to them. Is this on? Yeah, it's on. All right. Well, I'm going to talk to you about the book table. I didn't give us, Americans like a guarantee. And I forgot to give you our guarantee. And if you buy anything whatsoever, I don't care what it is, you buy anything off my book table at all, and you are not 100% satisfied, tough. This ain't Walmart, pal, okay? In fact, if you buy something off my table and you're not satisfied, take it back to Walmart. They take anything back. When we get low on cash, I take some of my books back to Walmart. They don't even know. We don't have any prayer cards. We ran out of prayer cards. My printer, he's shipping them to Idaho, so they're not going to come with me. I have a webpage called samgip.com. My company is Daystar Publishing. Make sure you say publishing, daystarpublishing.com. YouTube channel, and something else. Anyway, we publish about 25 other guys. I just can't fly them all in. That book is called A Chartered History of the Bible, and that's what it is. It does a little bit of work on the Old Testament, and then it shows the manuscript line of the New Testament manuscripts. As you know, all Bibles. You know, people say, well, there's 400 Bibles or 500 Bibles. No, there's only two. Because every Bible out there either comes from Alexandria in Egypt or Antioch in Syria. And that's, I don't care. You say, well, look, preacher, they're right on that shelf in that bookstore. There's 25 of them. Yeah, one of them's a King James. The rest of them are from Egypt. Okay? This is the line for the Alexandrian manuscripts. And there's a little synopsis. Now, this is not in depth. I got a book there called Understandable History, and it gets a little more in-depth. But this is like three paragraphs on what the Alexandrian text is. Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, two of the worst manuscripts on the planet. Jerome's Latin Vulgate. Wycliffe's Bible, which it looks like he translated from the Latin from Alexandria, but there's a good chance he may have done an end around. I don't have enough evidence. I want to say it, but I don't have enough evidence to say that he translated something from something else. Westcott and Hort, two famous guys, two distant relatives, two other famous guys, Abbott and Costello. And I'll tell you a book has to have a reason for existing. And a guy came to me, said, I read this, and he said, here's what I had problems with. I had a problem with the nomenclature. He said, I hear people talk about the Vulgate, and Vaticanus and Sinaiticus and Jerome. And he said, I didn't understand any of it. He said, I read that in one night. And he said, I got it down. This is the good line of manuscripts, the Antiochian line. That's two paragraphs on an autograph. An autograph is not something you get on a baseball. The original manuscripts were written by hand, and that is why they're known as an autograph. When we deal with the manuscripts, we call them an autograph. The traditional text, that's another name for the Antiochian text, Textus Receptus, whatever you want to call it. Erasmus Greek New Testament, Tyndale's English Bible, a pre-King James English Bible, several of the Bibles that were pre-King James, and then the King James Bible. So that that is back there. May be a help to you. This one, fight on. This is not about a Baptist business meeting. Okay. It might be a good book for a Baptist business meeting. Hardcover. You know, stop a small caliber round. But you know, I tell people this, guys, you know, when I was a kid, this country exalted heroes. And when I was your age, when I was his age, when I was your son Sam's age, all us guys wanted to be heroes. I mean, I tell people, I said, if you'd have ripped our shirt off, we all had a blue t-shirt on with a big red S for Sam. They tell me even Superman wore one of my t-shirts. Now, how's that? And today we don't exalt heroes. Is this not true? Today the country exalts victims. And everybody. Have you ever gotten a medical history from a waiter? Not what you want, okay? And I just tell people, if you just want somebody to kind of sit down across from you, hold your hand, have a little compassion, understand what you've been through, I am not your guy. You say, don't you care? No. No, you don't want me to lie. I don't care. Well, you know what I've been through? I don't want to know what you've been through. I was in this meeting, and you guys understand, I think I was telling Jerry this, I'm shaking hands after the meeting, and this 83-year-old lady comes by, and she shakes my hand, and she goes, I'm 83 years old. Do you know what happened to me when I was 8 years old? I thought, lady, you're not supposed to remember what happened to you when you were 8 years old. But everybody wants to tell you their sad story. And I'm not for that, but I am for anybody who will just try to keep on going. And so most of these, they're just one-page stories. They cover, look, this one goes all the way to 2 pages. Look at that. So this take a couple of days. But they cover any war situation. They cover floods, fires. I'm talking about wildfires, shipwrecks, train wrecks, tornadoes, hurricanes, grizzly bear attacks. Guys, on the order of violence, grizzly bear attacks rank just below a Baptist business meeting. Anyway, so, and there's two of them. This is actually the second one. I'm working on the third one. Working on it on the airplane over here. I was working on the third one. And they are $25 a piece, but if you get them both, we do a deal, both of them for $60. Man, I hope you went to public school, I'm telling you. I didn't write this one. This is an excellent little book. It's called Satan's Devices, A Biblical Neurobiological Perspective of What Impact Too Much Screen Time Can Have on Our Minds and Bodies. Now, how could we ever have too much screen time? How would that happen? Some of what it covers. What does the Bible say about your eyes? How do screens affect my child with autism? How does blue light affect my prefrontal cortex? Does screen time increase anxiety? You need an answer for that? You know, my wife had a great observation. She said, you remember when you used to get up and you never found out that the world had ended until the 12 o'clock news at noon on TV? My wife said, these are so great. She said, now we can get up within 5 minutes. We can be depressed. Yeah, like why wait until noon to be bummed out? You know, you can be up 5 minutes after you. Oh, let's give it up. How do screens affect my circadian rhythm? I have no rhythm. It's no problem. Can someone be addicted to screens? Now, I want you to know, I am one of the people that love to watch people walk into fountains. You know, you ever see them? They're walking up, and I think that's wonderful. You say you could get hurt. Won't hurt the human race a bit. Won't hurt the human race. Help. Darwin Awards. Can screen time lead to photophobia? So that is an excellent little book. Now, this is the only one I got, so it's $1,000. But half price tonight, ladies. Think about that. The first person that wants it, we'll give it to you. Second one, you can pay for it, and we'll swing it around mail it to you, ship it to you. If you bought a book on the table tonight after church, if your name is on something back there, grab it. This is called Living with Pain. No. See, you're laughing. You think, did your wife write that? You should know she didn't. It's entirely too thin. My wife is working on a 2-volume set called Living with the Pain. But, you know, I never thought about this for a long time, but I've been in ministry for 51 years. Only 3 months of those years did I not have a broken neck. I broke it 3 months out of PBI. My doctor was that doctor you heard about was practicing medicine because he hadn't perfected it. Sent me back to work 4 days later. They didn't find out it was broken for a couple of months. Didn't fix it. Almost 3 months. And so if you broke your arm or your leg and they didn't fix it for 3 months, it would never be like it should be. And that's kind of what my neck is. So they did a surgery over here in 73, one over here in 08. In 08, they took C5 out, put a cage in here, put a titanium plate. I got a titanium plate right there. I live from the day the Muslims try to cut off my head. And now, we're going to cut off your head. Bet you can't. I told you. Anyway, And then they did one back here in 13, and they what they want to do now, you don't even want to know. But there's some problems with it, and I will just tell you this: if you have a problem with pain, you have a friend, especially a lost person. There's a good chapter here on salvation, and so it may help somebody with that. So that is on living with pain. Now, some folks have pain. I don't have this. Some people have chronic illness, diabetics. Some folks have to have kidney dialysis, lupus, things that are just always there. And can I help you? If you don't have anything wrong with you, shut up. Really. Somebody sent me a book about this thick on chronic Christians, chronic illness and chronic pain. Well, I'm not reading a book this thick, so I read to the end. Here's what this guy said. Now think about this, lady. You or men and ladies, if you have a physical problem, I'm talking about a chronic illness, and you're doing, my pastor, he is 6 years younger than me and has been fighting for the last 21 years with leukemia. He fights, they give him, we know on three occasions, two for leukemia and one with COVID, they gave him up. There are days, you folks that have chronic illness, pain, it gets like that. And you know what you don't need? You don't need this guy's last chapter of this book, and here's what it said. If you have chronic illness, it's because of some unconfessed sin. Now, you want to feel sick all the time and then have some guy lay guilt on you like that? And he said if you have chronic pain, it's because you didn't forgive somebody something, which might be true because when I read that line. Anyway, this brother was in Vietnam as a lost guy, got into IV drugs, got through Vietnam, got saved, but by that time he had hepatitis C. It destroyed his liver. He went to Romania. He's a PBI grad. He went to Romania as a missionary for 8 years, struggled because he was literally dying. Came back to the States. They did a liver transplant that really didn't do him any good. I think within 60 days of us publishing this book, he went home to be with the Lord. This also, if you have a lost friend who has chronic illness, this also has a good chapter on salvation. This is one of them kind you know you. Slip the gospel under the door. So those are back there. This one, believe it or not, I don't know how many books I've written on a King James Bible. I've got two more in the oven. This book is not about the King James Bible. It's called Your Purpose for Existing. And I think it's the most important book I ever wrote. And it's based on it. Do you ever wonder why you're here? I mean, really, why did God allow you to be on this earth? I kind of wonder that about Democrats. But and I'm going to tell you what it is. I think the whole answer, one verse, Revelation chapter 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I think our purpose for existing is to put a smile on God's face every day. And again, I was talking about yesterday about success. What is success? I don't know how you quantify success, but I think this, any night you can go to bed and think, I think today I put a smile on his face. That's success. And this, did I tell you guys about always man always hitting 180 degrees off, or was that at your church? I think it wasn't yours either. Where am I? Guys, I'm someplace different every week. I never know who I said anything. Have I borrowed money from anybody here yet? Okay, I'll talk to all of you right after service. You know, man never comes, like if this is the target, yeah, that's what it is. Okay, see, it came through. You know, like if you put a target on that board and told man to shoot it, he wouldn't, and he didn't hit the target, he wouldn't even hit around it. He wouldn't even hit that wall. He'd hit that wall back there. Man is always 180 degrees out. Jonah said, God wants you to throw me overboard. So what did they say? Row harder. We teach salvation by grace. What does the world teach? Salvation by works. You can't get any farther from grace than works. And I don't mean this to be accusative, guys. I'm trying to guilt trip you. But I know you say you want to please the Lord. But if you listen to your prayers. Now look, if we are here to put a smile on God's face every day, listen to your morning prayers and see if basically what you're saying is, here's what you can do to put a smile on my face today. Yeah. We're always 180 degrees out. So that has been a help to some folks, and those will be back there. Now here's what I'm going to do tonight. Open your Bibles to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Man, I hate to say this, but for a few minutes, just fleeting, I'm going to have to be a fundamentalist. Now, this is a very painful experience for me, but we're gonna read this passage of Scripture. It's a very very famous passage of Scripture. I hope it's in this version. John chapter 21. And we'll start reading about verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now I'm going to be the fundamentalist, so don't, you know, I'm going to have, I always worry about those guys. Do you ever hear him say, go like this, now beloved. When one of those guys says, now beloved, I put one hand on my wallet and the other around my wife. Because I figure he's after one or the other. Okay, now beloved. And they said, now beloved. And let me show you, here's what they do. Now beloved. In verse 15, let me ask you a question. This, I'm not being a fundamentalist right now. If you paid, let's say, $70,000 to $80,000 for a bright red sports car, wouldn't you want anybody to know? Oh, that's my car. $75,000. I got a deal. $74,999. If you paid $75,000 or $70,000 for a sports car, do you want anybody to know? What do you do when you put $70,000 of education in your brain? I mean, you can't park it out in front. They can't see it. So what do you do? You know what these guys do? It's kind of big. It's like this. Now, beloved, you who don't know the Greek like I do because I have $70,000 in my brain, and your brain is nothing like that. I've had $70,000 in my brain. And so, beloved, because you're bound by the King James Bible, in verse 15, when the Lord, our dear Lord, that's what they always say, our dear Lord. Jerry asked me what I was preaching, and I told him to preach on love. Love, 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 love. Now, beloved, here's what you don't know, because you haven't had Greek like I have, and you haven't put $70,000 in your boy like I put in my boy. So, in the Greek, when our dear Lord said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, he used the Greek word agape. Because there's two different kinds of Greek words. Love is represented by two different kinds of Greek words. One is agape, which means a deep, intimate, selfless love. And the other is phileo. And phileo isn't a deep, intimate, selfless love. It's more like a casual, friendly love. And when the Lord said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said, Simon, do you have a deep, intimate, selfless love for me? And Peter, afraid of that kind of a commitment, said, well, Lord, I love you like a friend. And the Lord, not getting the answer that he wanted, he asked him again, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me with a deep, intimate, selfless love? And Peter, again, afraid of the commitment, said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now the Lord, seeing that he's never going to get the answer that he wants, he changed it. In verse 17, and he said, okay then, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me with a casual, friendly love like a buddy? And Peter was grieved. He was grieved. And by the way, what I am telling you, do you know what a straw man is? A straw man is the guy that doesn't agree with you, but he won't argue with you. He makes up a straw man and knocks it down and says, look how I defeated him. And I heard what I'm telling you. I heard a guy teach this one time, and he said, Peter was grieved because he changed from agape to phileo. And he said, yeah, Lord, you know that I kind of love you like a friend. Now, guys, that is a standard teaching on those three verses. And I'll tell you what's true here. What is true here, just a second. I'll get them all out here one of these times. There it is. What is true here is that in verse 15, the Lord said agape. In verse 16, the Lord said agape. In verse 17, he said phileo. What's true is that Peter said phileo three times. That's what's true. The definition of agape being one kind of love and phileo another, if you take that teaching and put it between two pieces of bread, you have a bologna sandwich. Okay? Now, I know what you're going to say. Oh, you better prove it. I'm not going to prove it. I am not going to prove what I just said. You are. Because I'm going to give you a test. I'm going to give you a 25-question test. I know you're all looking scared. This, look, how can it be hard if I tell you how to pass? I want you to look at this. Somebody tell me what I'm drawing. Okay. This test has 25 questions. What if I told you I'm giving you a test with 25 questions, and all I'm going to do is put these two symbols up in some order. All you have to do is if it's a triangle, put a T, and if it's a circle, put a C. You think you could pass? Because I'm going to tell you how to pass, and everyone will fail. Now, the object is not to pass or fail. The object is to keep the rules. And the rules are that agape is a deep, intimate, selfless love. In other words, we're gonna look at the Bible. Somebody tell me what I'm drawing. Pardon me? Oh, I didn't write anything. You already know it? Why? Why? How do you know it's a stop sign? It's okay. You're not in trouble. Eight-sided in red. Right? Yeah. That's a rule. All over this country. In fact, all over the world. I was telling over at Jerry's church. I was over in Romania in 1992. You know what the stop signs look like in Romania? They are red. They have eight sides. And they say, in English, S-T-O-P. Which may be why there's a lot of car wrecks in Romania. But you see what I'm saying? If I tell you anytime you see a red sign, even if there's no words on it, if you saw a red sign with eight sides, the rule is that it's always a stop sign. All right, if agape is a deep, intimate, selfless love, and phileo is a casual, friendly love, then it's got to be consistent, not here, but all through the Bible, every time agape and phileo are used, correct? Okay, so these three guys, you come here. Yeah, I have to put a sword in somebody, and I need you guys. Here, I want you to pass these out. You take that side. You take the center. You just leave. Would you just leave? Now, don't start. I'll tell you when to start. Ask if anybody needs a pen, please. Oh, does anybody need a pen? Preacher, give you a pen. Does anybody need $100? Preacher, give you $100. Does anybody have to figure out how to spell A or P? I'll tell you what this. I'll tell you how we do this. Like I said, don't start until I tell you. Now, let me say this. I do this with a bunch of preachers in the sanctuary, in the congregation. You know the guys that everybody fails this. There's only certain guys that don't fail. You know who they are? The guys that don't take it. I am serious. It's the preachers that won't take it. Because the preachers teach this stuff. And you need more?
Yes.
And I'll see a preacher, I'll say, well, you didn't take it. And they'll say, well, I want a blank one for later. I said, what good is a blank one if you don't have the answers? I said, I'll give you another blank one and the answers. They want, if the only way you're not going to fail this is to not take it, okay? So let's see. Has everybody got a test? He was passing them out, right? That'll make you pray for the Lord to come back. I'm telling you right there. Here, you got a test? Okay. Anybody else need a test? Going once. Okay. Look at your test, and we'll look at the rules for it, and then they'll go through it. We will do them one at a time. We'll do them all together. It says this: read the Bible quote, which I will do for you. Put an A or a P in the blank before the quote to signify your choice of the Greek word used, agape or phileo. So, now, guys, I don't mean to. I'm not being facetious here. Don't you think you're smart enough that when you read a verse, you know if it's talking about a deep, intimate, selfless love or casual, friendly love? Okay. Now, don't try to pass the test. I had a guy. He said, "Oh, I bet they're all agape," and he put all A's, and he failed. I had a guy do the same thing with peace. He failed. Don't say, "Oh, this looks like agape. It must be phileo." No. Follow the rule. The rule is agape is a deep, intimate, selfless love. Phileo is a casual, friendly love. You see the definitions. All right, guys, we are about to begin. So with number one, this is, now, let me ask you this. How do you think Jesus used agape and phileo? One word. Correctly. Didn't he not invent language? Then I figure he got it right. Okay, so the first 10 are how Jesus Christ used agape and phileo. Number one, Luke chapter 11 and verse 42, he talks about the love of God. So what kind of love, if agape, we're taking this rule as legitimate. If agape love is deep, intimate, selfless love, phileo love is a casual, friendly love, then what is the Greek word there? Is it agape? Put an A for agape or P for phileo. And number two, John chapter 5 and verse 42, also the love of God. Again, what kind of love would God have for us? Would it be a deep, intimate, selfless love, agape, or casual, friendly love, phileo? Put an A or a P. Number three, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me. Then what kind of love did they have for their father and mother that they should have for the Lord? Would it be agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number four, this is where the Lord is talking to the local churches in Revelation 3, verse 9, to know that I have loved thee. Well, what kind of love does the Lord have for the local church? Agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number five, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, talking about the Laodicean church. As many as I love. What kind of love does the Lord have for the Laodicean church? Is it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love? Am I going too fast? You guys have time to write agape, A or P? You have. Number six, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 6, where he's upbraiding the Pharisees. He's scolding them. And he says that you love the uppermost rooms. What kind of love did the Pharisees have for the uppermost rooms? Was it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? And number seven, John chapter 12 and verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. What kind of love did he have for his life? Was it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number eight, this is Luke chapter 11, verse 43. This is the parallel to number six, Matthew 23, 6. It's the Luke account of it. And again, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you love the uppermost seats. What kind of love did the Pharisees have for the seats? Was it agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number nine, John chapter 5 and verse 20, the Father loveth the Son. Okay, so what kind of love would God the Father have for his Son, Jesus Christ? Would it be agape love, a deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, a casual, friendly love, A or P? And then number 10, John chapter 16 and verse 27, the Father himself loveth you. What kind of love does God the Father have toward you? Agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? All right, now the second part. Now, look up here a second. Look up here. You know what I get? I get these guys, Bible college students. And they say stupid things, and I don't know exactly why they say them, but I've got it narrowed down to two. They've either been hit in the head too many times or not enough. And they say there's a mistake in my Bible, and you say, why do you do that? Well, my Greek professor said, and he's a very spiritual man. If you went to Bible college, you had a Greek professor, and he's a spiritual man, I don't even know him. I can't argue against that. Let me ask you a question. Okay, you have the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John. That's the next three we're going to look at. I don't know how spiritual your Greek professor was, but I think he didn't match any one of them. So I think these guys were probably closer to God than he was, and this one is God. So I'm going to bank on Jesus Christ and these three apostles, not on your Greek professor or mine. So the apostles, how the New Testament writers used agape and phileo. Number 11, this would be the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter, Paul wrote 2 Peter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Then what kind of lovers of pleasure were they that they should be that kind of a lover of God? Number 12, John 11, verse 5, Jesus loved Martha. What kind of love did the Lord have, if you know Mary and Martha, what kind of love did he have for Martha? Was it agape love, deep intimate selfless love, or phileo love, casual friendly love, A or P? Number 13, again, John writing, John chapter 20, verse 2, the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Let's talk about John. What kind of love did the Lord have for John the apostle? Was it agape love, deep intimate selfless love, or phileo love, casual friendly love, A or P? Number 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. So what kind of love had you better have for the Lord? Should it be agape love, deep and selfless love, or phileo love, casual friendly love, A or P? Number 15, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What kind of love did God commend toward us? Is it agape love, deep intimate selfless love, phileo love, casual friendly love, A or P? Number 16, and this is two verses after number 14. This is when Paul is closing out the Corinthian letter, and he says this to the Corinthians. He said, my love be with you all. What kind of love did the Apostle Paul have the Corinthian church? Was it agape love, deep intimate selfless love, phileo love, casual friendly love, A or P? Number 17, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, maybe two out of three. So what kind of spirit of love did he give us? Was it agape love, deep intimate selfless love, or phileo love, casual friendly love, A or P? Number 18, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. It's talking about our love for each other as brethren. One to another with brotherly love. Well, what should our brotherly love be? Should it be agape love, deep and selfless love, or phileo love, casual friendly love? A or P? Number 19, 2 Thessalonians, very similar. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. Abound in love one toward another. So what kind of love should we abound in one toward another? Should it be agape love, deep and selfless love, or phileo love, casual friendly love? A or P? Number 20, Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, women to be sober, to love their husbands. What kind of love should a woman have for her husband? Agape love, deep intimate selfless love, or phileo love, casual friendly love, A or P? Number 21, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28, so ought men to love their wives. What kind of love should a husband have for his wife? Agape love, deep intimate selfless love, phileo love, casual friendly love, A or P? Number 22, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, love the brotherhood. Now, I did not get this out of a mafia oath, okay? It would be love the brotherhood, our muscles up. Anyway, what kind of love should we have for our brethren? Should it be agape love, deep intimate selfless love, or phileo love, casual friendly love, A or P. Number 23, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, let brotherly love continue. I always think of that one at a church split, throwing song books and everything. So what is brotherly love? Should it be agape love, deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Number 24, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, in him verily is the love of God perfected. What is the love of God? Is it agape love? Is it a deep, intimate, selfless love? Or is it phileo love, a casual, friendly love, A or P? And then last, Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, the love of God, our Savior. So what kind of love does God, our Savior, have for us? Is it agape love, a deep, intimate, selfless love, or phileo love, casual, friendly love, A or P? Now, remember when you're in school and you traded papers? No. No. I want you to enjoy grading your own. All right? So let's get started. Number one. Oh, I got to tell you why we're doing this. This is not about agape. This is not about phileo. See, it is. No, no, it's really not. We are going to answer one of the most important questions tonight. And here is the question. If Jesus Christ were on the earth right now and spoke English, would he say, ain't? Now, the reason I'm telling you that now is because sometimes I forget this. So if I don't get back to this, you get me back to this. Say, preacher, I don't understand it. Hang on, you will. And we're gonna establish the answer for that. If I can tell you, if Jesus Christ were on the earth right now and he spoke English, I can tell you whether he would or would not say ain't. I'll tell you. We'll get back to that. Okay, number one, Jesus Christ speaking, the verse 10, Luke chapter 11, verse 42, he says the love of God. All right, if agape love is a deep, intimate, selfless love, and phileo love is a casual, friendly love, and Jesus Christ said the love of God, what should the answer be? Agape. Some of you guys are scared. It's agape. It's agape. It's an A. It's an A. Number two, John chapter 5, verse 42, the love of God. What kind of love should that be? Agape. Now, before your heart is lifted up in pride, did you guys, do you know what a gimme is on a test? That's like you spell your name right and you get points for it. I do this for my students all the time, and they still don't get it. But those are the gimmies. Now, I'm going to give you some advice. If you have a pride problem, leave now. Because you can say, oh, I couldn't stay, but at the time I left, I had them all right. Number three, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me, then what kind of love did he have for his father and mother that he should have had for the Lord? Would it be agape or phileo? Phileo. Phileo. I can get the Greek New Testament show to you. Number four. He's talking to local churches in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. To know that I have loved thee. What kind of love would he have for the local church? Agape or phileo? It is agape. You guys are already scared. You know what happens? I start this out and people get very bold. They go, agape, phileo. And then they go, start going, agape. Agofo. I mean, I'm serious. You ought to hear it from up here. It's like, number five, Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. What kind of love does the Lord have for thee, as many as I love? What kind of love does he have for the Laodicean church? Agape or phileo? Phileo. Apparently, you know why Jesus did this? Obviously, he never went to Bible college. Number six, he's abrading the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23, verse 6. To love, you love the uppermost rooms. What kind of love did the Pharisees have for the uppermost rooms? Phileo. Number seven, John chapter 12 and verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. What kind of love did they have for their life? Agape love or phileo love? Phileo. Yeah, I know what you're doing. You're going, well, it don't make sense. You're exactly right. It doesn't make sense. The rule is bunk, okay? And it'll get proven even more as we go. Number eight, this is again parallel to number six, Matthew 23, 6. Luke chapter 11, verse 43. Abrading the Pharisees, he says, you love the uppermost seats. What kind of love did they have for the uppermost seats? Agape or phileo? Agape. So they had phileo love for the rooms, but agape love for the seats. And all I can figure is they're going like this. Oh, man, I just love this room. Yeah, I love. Oh, I love those seats. You are laughing at a Greek rule. That is a stupid, misinformation Greek rule. We'll get there. We'll get more to it. On number 9, John chapter 5 and verse 20. Okay, this should be easy. The Father loveth the Son. What kind of love would God the Father have for His Son, Jesus Christ? Agape or phileo? Phileo. It is phileo. Guys, I got a briefcase full of Greek New Testaments. It's phileo, phileo, phileo. Number 10, John chapter 16, verse 27. The Father Himself loveth you. What kind of love does God the Father have for you? Agape or phileo? Phileo. Yeah. You know what I'm looking forward to? At the judgment seat of Christ, when some Greek professor gets up there and straightens the Lord out on proper usage of agape. Well, you know, you really did. Number 11, this is how Paul used it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Then what kind of lover of pleasure were they that they should have been that kind of a lover of God? Agape or phileo? You guys are so scared. Phileo. You had good reason to be scared.
Are they both phileo?
I only gave you one. 11?
Both lovers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you thought I read two answers. Number 12, John chapter 11, verse 5. Jesus loved Martha. What kind of love did the Lord have for Martha? You know the lady that was cumbered about much serving? Agape. 13, John chapter 20 and verse 2, the other disciple whom Jesus loved. What kind of love did the Lord have for the apostle John? Agape or phileo? Phileo. Which, that's kind of funny, isn't it? He loved Martha, the girl that's cumbered about much serving. And here's the guy that went into Herod's judgment hall with him. Oh, yeah, I know John. We did a little fishing together. He's always all right. Number 14. This may explain why some of you are saved and have a lot of bad things happen. You can be saved and be cursed. It says, 1 Corinthians 16, 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. What kind of love should you have for the Lord? Agape love, deep intimate selfless love, or phileo love, casual friend love? Phileo. Which, if that's true, if they are two different kinds of love, Peter fit the bill. He said phileo every time. Why would the Lord be upset? That's all that's required. Number 17, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God hath not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What spirit of love did He give you? He gave you the spirit of... Number 18, agape. Except for Peter. Peter got the phileo spirit. Number 18, Romans chapter 12, verse 10, one to another with brotherly love. What kind of love should we as brethren have for each other? Agape love or phileo love? Casual friendly or deep intimate selfless? What do you think? Phileo. Number 19, very similar. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. Abound in love one toward another. What kind of love should we have for each other as brethren? Agape love, deep intimate selfless love, casual friend love. Which one? Agape. Number 20, Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Women to be sober, to love their husbands. What kind of love should a wife have for her husband? Mindless, selfless. I'm sorry. I thought I was talking to my wife for a second. What kind of love should a wife have for her husband? Agape or phileo? Phileo. And I am bummed out. We call that a handshake instead of a kiss. 21, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. So ought men to love their wives. What kind of love should we have for our wives? Agape. That's not fair. I got to have this deep intimate selfless love for her, and all she got to say is, yeah, he's okay. He's here a lot. Number 22, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Love the brotherhood. Oh, no, it's agape. When they say it like that, it's agape. They'll kneecap you. Make it agape. Number 23, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. What kind of love is that? Phileo. 24, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. In him verily is the love of God perfected. What is the love of God? Is it agape love, deep intimate selfless love, or phileo love, casual friendly love? It's agape. Number 25, Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, the love of God our Savior. So God our Savior has love for us. What kind is it, agape or phileo? Phileo. Now, that your test, and I don't think the problem is with the rule, or I don't think the problem is with you, I think it's with the rule. I think you probably nailed them if there was a difference. But there isn't a difference. But wait. Because some of you fail. Did you ever get, like they gave you a bonus question? I'm going to give you guys a bonus question. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And look at verse 9. And listen, you're not only getting a bonus question, I'm going to let you do it the second most favorite thing Baptists do. After eating, voting. Number 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Okay, look here. How many of you say that the love is brotherly love? What kind of love is this that Paul said? Did he say agape? How many say he said agape? You put it up, you don't hurt yourself. Oh, I can't believe you put it up. Okay. How many said phileo? How many are cowards? You know what? You guys should have voted. You say for which one? Either one. They're both in there. For touching brotherly love, phileo, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love, agape, one another. You think the Holy Spirit knows more about Greek than a Greek professor? Amen. Okay. Did the Holy Spirit not just use both words to describe the same kind of love? Amen. Then they can't be different. Let's do another bonus. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 22, and this time you ought to vote. Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So, same love. How many of you say the love in that verse, Peter said, is agape? How many? Phileo. Hey, you're both right. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, phileo, of the brethren, see that ye love, agape, one another with pure heart fervently. He just used both Greek words to describe the same kind of love. So I am telling you, and you have proven it, not I, there is no difference. God himself, Jesus Christ, Peter, Paul, and John, none of them recognized any difference between agape and phileo. You saw it. Now, there should be some questions going through your mind. One of them is, if there's no difference, why did he use two different Greek words? Is that not a valid question? Okay. Go with me. Hang on. I got to find my page here. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Go to Matthew chapter 16. If there's no difference between agape and phileo, why did the Lord use agape at one place and or even the Holy Spirit? Why agape in one place and phileo in another? And the answer is found in Matthew chapter 16. And look at verse 9. He's talking to him about when he fed the 5,000 and 4,000. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? That's the answer. You say, well, the word love isn't in there. No, but the word baskets is, isn't it? Right? Okay. Did you know that the Greek words for baskets in those two verses are two different Greek words? In verse 9, when he says baskets, he uses the Greek word kophinous, when he says baskets in verse 10, he's using the word spurdos. Now, the reason I'm writing it up here is so that you don't think it's a different form of the same word. There's no way that kophinous and spurdos are the same word. Now, do you know why the Lord said in verse 9, when he talked about baskets, you know why he said kophinous in verse 9? And spurred us in verse 10. Kophinous. These are deep, intimate, selfless baskets. I don't think you guys believe me. Okay. We say, well, what does that got to do with it? Why did he use two different Greek words for baskets? I know why. He wanted to. I mean, he's God. Doesn't he get some kind of a perk with the job? Okay? And I have to tell you this. I misled you. At the beginning, I misled you. I didn't mislead you. Remember I told you I didn't put up a straw man? When I was talking as a fundamentalist, that I told you I heard a guy teach what I was telling you? And I heard the guy say, when he talked about verse 15, agape phileo, 16, agape phileo, phileo phileo, and 17, this guy literally from the pulpit said, and Peter was grieved. Go back to John 21. Peter was grieved because the Lord changed from agape to phileo. Really? Look at verse 17. John 21, 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he changed from agape to phileo. Is that what it says? Guys, if he was grieved because he changed from agape to phileo, wouldn't that say it in the verse? What was he grieved about? Look at your Bible. What was Peter grieved about? Third time. Yes, third time. Jesus didn't say anything three times. He didn't say anything three times. Look at verse 15 at the end of it. Feed my lambs. End of verse 16. Feed my sheep. End of verse 17. Feed my sheep. He said sheep twice, lambs once. He said, well, yeah, but he said love. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You see where it says feed in verse 15? You see where it says feed in verse 16 and feed in verse 17? He used two different Greek words for feed. In verse 15, he used the Greek word baske. In verse 16, He used the Greek word poumanos. And back in 17, he went back to baske. So he said lambs, sheep, didn't say anything there three times. He said baske, poumanos, baske. He didn't say feed three times, the same word. And he didn't say love the same. The only thing, well, he didn't say agape or phileo three times. He did say something three times. You know what he said? That's what he said. And that's what he's getting at. Now, you should still have some more questions. Like, okay, if this is not correct, where did this teaching get a start? I can't tell you, but I got an idea. Okay? I love this. Talk to a college student, and they'll say, I can't tell how guys have told me this. My Greek professor does his personal devotions from the Greek New Testament. Now, if anybody ever tells you that, ask them, say, how do you know? What's the answer? He told me. You know, because you don't have to say the brain like I have. So you use the English for you duds, and I'll use the Greek for what I had. Guys, those guys, now I think here's what happened. Okay? Brother Jerry and his wife and I, we have to go back down to his house tonight. I fly out tomorrow morning. He is in, we're going down to Fort Lauderdale. So we're going to hit I-95 north, and we're going to get go to Fort Lauderdale tonight. Right? Whoa. Is I-95 the wrong? I-95 is the right road, right? So we're going to hit 95 north, and we're going to go to Fort Lauderdale. You said I-95 is the right road, right? So what's wrong? Whoa. Are you saying that if we went I-95 north, we're on the right road, but we're going the wrong direction? Yeah, I think that's what happened here. Some doofus who loved his $70,000 brain was doing his personal devotion from the Greek New Testament, and he saw agape phileo and made this up. I can't think of any other way it could happen. In fact, and this, I didn't find this out for decades. I taught this for years and years. And then a guy said this. Now, you guys wouldn't know who Gerhard Kittel is. But Gerhard Kittel is he's dead. And he's not a Bible believer by any stretch of imagination, but he is a renowned scholar of the 19th century. This is what he said about this teaching here. I never knew this. He said, the teaching of agape being one kind of love and phileo another, quote, can only be taught from John, nowhere else. If it can only be taught from John, it's not a rule. Guys, if stop signs are only eight-sided and red and say STOP in Florida, I can't say every time you see a red eight-sided sign, it's a stop sign. Correct? All right. Let's see here. Oh, got to tell you what happened. I have a good brother. And he loves the Lord, and he believes the book. But, you know, some guys, they believe the Bible, but they still think they can enhance it with the Greek. And I don't know how you can improve. I always say, can I ask you a question? How can you make round rounder? How can you make straight straighter? How can you make flat flatter? If God could come in the room back there and we put a bag over his head and put him on a pogo stick and turn the lights out and said, Lord, as you go by the board, draw a straight line. And I'll guarantee you couldn't straighten it any better than him. Isn't that right? You think if you told him to draw a circle, you know, Lord, draw a circle. And if he drew a circle, how do you improve on that? Okay, I don't think you can do better. Excuse me, I don't think you can do better than God can. So I'm up in a conference in New York, probably must have been in the early 90s, and my good friend, this brother, was teaching, and he referred to the Greek. He wouldn't use any other version but a King James, but he referred to the Greek. And he and I, and there was a Cuban pastor friend of mine, he's with the Lord now, and he was a King James Bible reader. And so we're Baptist preachers. So after we preach, what do? Eat. So we're sitting in a restaurant, and my Cuban friend is here, and I'm sitting here, and this brother is sitting across from me. I don't ever accost anybody. I don't say why Jesus Greek or anything like that. I don't bother. But my Cuban friend says, hey, brother, why do you use Greek to change our word? And he goes, no, I'm enhancing it. And I said, okay. I said, and he didn't understand it. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to answer this question. Here's what I poised to him. I want you to think about this. Wait, let me ask you a question. What is your final authority in all matters of faith and practice? Come on. What is your final authority in all matters of faith and practice? The Bible. I said, brother, if I've got a Greek grammar book in this hand, and it has a rule, you know, like, agape is one kind of love, a little another. I didn't tell him what it was. I just said, if I have a Greek grammar book here and it has a Greek grammar rule, and I have the Bible in this hand, and this book, the Bible, violates the Greek grammar book, which one's wrong? And he goes, I don't understand the question. I said, if I have a Greek grammar book in this hand, and it has a rule, and I have a Bible in this hand, and the Bible violates the Greek grammar book, which one's wrong? I don't understand the question. I have a Greek grammar. Obviously, this guy did not hit his brain. I hit him 3 times in a row. He said, I don't understand the question. I really thought this might be the problem. Honest. I switched hands. I did. I said, okay. I said, maybe I have a problem. I said, I'll put the Bible in this hand and the Greek grammar book in this hand. I said, now, I have a Greek grammar book in this hand, and it has a rule. And my Bible violates the Greek grammar book. Which one's wrong? Which one's right? I'm telling you, 4 times, I don't understand the question. 4 times. Now, what he couldn't see is that in fact, my Cuban friend was sitting beside him. He is beet red. And he has got a fork in this hand and a knife in this hand. And he hears this guy 4 times say, I don't understand. And he didn't even look at him. He goes, it's not the hard question, brother. And the guy goes, the Bible. My Cuban pastor was also a motivational therapist. Did I tell you that? So, now the question. If Jesus Christ were on the earth and he spoke English, would he say ain't? Oh, okay, you bunch of cowardly Baptists. How many of you say if the Lord was on the earth right now and he spoke English, he would say ain't? All right. How many of you say, if he was on this world right now and he spoke English, he would not say ain't? Okay, about evenly. You know what the answer is? No, no, no. You can't be both. You can't use it and not use it. Are you related to him? Anyway. You know what the answer is? I don't know. Well, how could I know? Right? Wait a minute. But if I had an English grammar book right here, and it said ain't is not proper English, and I showed it to Jesus Christ, and he said, ain't that something? See, I can't tell you, listen, I don't know if he'd say ain't or not, but I do know this. If he said it, it would be good grammar. Because he's never ever wrong, right? So guys, when somebody gets up and they dazzle you with their $70,000 brain and they want you to know, you know, how great they are, you know, I think that's what some of these guys, their favorite hymn is, how great I am, how great I am. Don't be deceived and don't be impressed. Just because they know more than you, and I don't mean that in a smart way, okay? The guy's had 3 years of Greek, you haven't had any, well, he knows more Greek than you. That doesn't make this true. Oh, but wait a minute, he brought me his Greek grammar book, and he showed me right there, there's the rule. Well, okay, if the Greek grammar book's your final authority and all matters paid to practice, then go with it. But if the Greek grammar book has a rule, like agape is one kind of love and philia is another, and Jesus and Paul and Peter and John, the Holy Spirit of God, 3 of them led of God, inspired of God, and 1 of them God. If they didn't acknowledge that rule, then whoever made up that rule, that, I'm telling you, put it between 2 pieces of bread, that's the only value there is. It's a bologna sandwich.